Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back in for another edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. Today we are going to talk local and national. Last night we had some high school basketball, both Carbon teams, the boys and the girls in action. The boys suffering a loss at home, the girls on the road taking care of business against Duchesne, 9-1. That's where the Lady Dinos are right now. We'll talk more high school basketball in just a bit. We're going to get you set up for the Region 12 openers. That's tomorrow night on the girls' side of the court. It's going to be a fascinating season for girls' basketball in Region 12. When you look at the RPI and the way the computer system ranks these girls at the moment, Region 12 is insanely loaded. 1, 2, and 3 in the RPI right now. South Sevier, Richfield, Carbon. All three of those teams are in Region 12. And then you have Judge Memorial, Grantsville, and Delta, and then you have Emory. So right now, four of the top seven teams in girls basketball in the 3A classification are from Region 12, which means we're going to have some thrilling Region 12 matchups tomorrow. Carbon, they'll travel on the road to take on South Sevier. Love the matchup right out of the gate. Emory, on the flip side, will take on Richfield, also on the road. So Carbon could really be the number one team in the 3A classification by the end of the week, and Emory could be right there with them. I mean, the Lady Spartans are at 3-3, but they have played a highly difficult schedule, to say the least. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about Region 12 and more. Coach Lynn Tuttle is going to join us next segment here on Drive Time Sports. We also have to talk college football. Last night, we had the Heisman Trophy presentation. A little odd, isn't it, to have it just a few days before the national championship? But it did go to the right player. I mean, typically, I have a hard time with the Heisman Trophy because it seems that it always goes to the best quarterback. That wasn't the case this year. It went to Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith is a kid that I have so much respect for. He's small. He's skinny. He doesn't look like your stereotypical wide receiver that's going to dominate games, but he dominates games. And we saw that in the Rose Bowl against Notre Dame. They had no answer for this kid. And that's pretty much been the story all year long for Alabama. They've had the most dynamic player. And when you have a guy like Devontae Smith, it makes life a whole lot easier on a quarterback like Mac Jones. So no disrespect to Mac Jones. No disrespect to Trevor Lawrence. Best player in the country, it's Devontae Smith. And I just feel like finally, we saw a player so dominant outside of the quarterback position that the voters could actually justify voting for him. You know, over the last few years, there's all kinds of players I would have voted for if I had a vote for the Heisman that weren't quarterbacks. But to see Devontae Smith get that love last night and win the Heisman, I thought it was just a great thing. So we will talk about that. We'll also talk about the NFL draft. And the reason I want to talk about the draft is because yesterday we spent two segments talking about 12 teams. Well, now that college football is wrapping up, I mean, the perceived number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, he's not playing in the national championship game. You can start looking towards the draft. Basically, I feel bad for fans who don't have a team in the playoffs. We've all been there. It stinks. If you're a Bronco fan, it's the first time that a team has missed the playoffs 5 consecutive years after winning a Super Bowl. Can you believe that? So yeah, let's talk NFL draft a little bit later. And where does Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, where does he fit in? Is he a top 5 pick? Is he the top receiver drafted? I've talked to some people that don't believe he'll be the first wide receiver off of the board. I think that's insane. I think this kid is just the real deal. I think he's one of the best college football receivers I've seen over the last two decades. I'm serious when I say that. This kid is that good. And he's going to have his imprint all over the national championship game on Monday. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show as well. Let's talk NBA. It was not a good night for the Utah Jazz last night. You're going to have games like that, especially when the season is so, it's odd to begin with. You know, you're playing so many games in a short period of time. Wasn't a big break between what happened in the bubble and the start of the new season. And the Jazz last night were down 35-14 at the end of the first quarter. And it's going to be very difficult to rebound from that type of deficit, especially when you're going up against a team like the Brooklyn Nets. And Brooklyn last night got a solid, solid performance from Kyrie Irving. 29 points, 12 of 19 from the field. That's not a bad Brooklyn team. But it was not a good night for the Jazz. And now Utah, they got a quick turnaround. They'll take on the New York Knicks. How does Utah respond? Do they blast through New York? I think the Jazz are favored by 8 in this game tonight. And the Knicks haven't been bad. Not a bad basketball team so far this season. 5:30 p.m. start time right here on KOAL. David Locke and Ron Boone will bring you the live play-by-play call. Live coverage will begin at 5:20. Again, that's the Jazz at the Garden taking on the New York Knicks. We'll take a look at the other slate of games in the NBA, and they begin in the 5 o'clock hour. We get the Rockets and the Pacers. The Cavaliers will take on the Orlando Magic. And I want to talk about the Magic in just a bit here on the show. Are they a good team or a good story? I know there's only 7 games into the season, and yeah, 65 of these things still to go. And so I try to stay away from the hyperbole. I try to stay away from being a prisoner in the moment. But this has been a fun team to watch so far. Also in the 5 o'clock hour, we get Washington at Philadelphia. The 76ers right now, best record in the NBA at 6-1. We get Charlotte at Atlanta at 5:30. The Celtics and the Heat will battle it out on ESPN tonight at 5:30 as well. Also, the Jazz and the Knicks. Then 6 o'clock tonight, Detroit at Milwaukee. We get the Pelicans and the Thunder at 6 p.m. Toronto on the road taking on the Phoenix Suns at 7. Phoenix has been very, very good. Toronto, they have not. We get the Clippers and the Warriors tonight at 8. And then in the nightcap, it's the Bulls and the Kings. And I was talking about Phoenix and just how good the Suns have been. There's no surprise to me right now the Lakers have the best record in the Western Conference. Just one game better than the Clippers, a half game better than the Phoenix Suns. But Phoenix, this is a legitimate team. And when you look at what they've done defensively, it's a mess throughout. Again, I know it's only 7 games, but if you take a look at the Western Conference, there is not a single team holding opponents under 100 points per game. There isn't a single team in the NBA, for that matter, that's holding opponents under 100 points a game. Remember back in the day, Lawler's Law, you know, the first team that scores 100 would get the win? Or if a team didn't get to 100, if a team did get to 100, you knew they were going to win? That's not the case in the NBA anymore. But the Phoenix Suns, defensively, points per game, points allowed per game, they are giving up the fewest at 100.6. That's the fewest. And their point differential is +7, which is second in the Western Conference, behind only the Lakers at +10, who have the second biggest in the NBA behind the Milwaukee Bucks, who right now may be the 7th seed, but that Bucks team is pretty good. And over the next 65 games, that's going to play itself out. What I'm saying is there are two teams in the Western Conference that I believe will make the playoffs this year that did not last year, maybe even 3 if you consider Golden State. But the Phoenix Suns are very, very good. And I think Sacramento is pretty good this year as well. And right now, if you were looking at the playoff teams from last year compared to this year, the 3 that would be in, and again, I know it's 7 games in, but we're talking Golden State, Phoenix, and the Kings. The 3 teams that would be on the outside, Dallas, Denver, and Houston. And I think it's very plausible that Houston's going to stay on the outside looking in. But it's been a tough go for the Nuggets. And Mike Malone is really change some things around with the lineup, trying to find the right rotation. They would be on the outside looking in at the moment. The Western Conference is going to be highly entertaining. That's the point I'm trying to make. And at this point in time, the Phoenix Suns, they may be the most enjoyable team in the league to watch. Even more so than the Lakers, who have all this firepower, because there are times where the Lakers look disinterested, and that's just bad basketball. It's not fun to watch. And in the Eastern Conference, Philly looks fantastic. but the Magic have been really fun as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show if we get some time. It's a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. We're going to pause for just a moment. Local sports recap coming up. Plus, we'll be joined by Coach Lynn Tuttle when we return right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We had plenty of high school basketball last night. Both Carbon, boys and girls in action. Lady Dinos just continue to roll. You can get the complete recaps of both those games right now at CastleCountryRadio.com. Coming up tomorrow, it's the beginning of Region 12 play for both Carbon and Emory on the girls' side of the court. The Lady Spartans will travel on the road. They'll take on Richfield. It's a tough matchup right out of the gate. Emory at 3-3, number 7 in the RPI. Not a lot of contests, not a lot of games so far. They're just 3-3. Now you look at some of the other teams, they played close to 10 games. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Head Coach Lynn Tuttle, right now with the Emory Spartans. Coach, always a pleasure. I appreciate the time again today. Thank you.
You bet, Jordan.
Coach, it's been odd, and I know we talked heavily about this the last time you were on with me. We talked about the amount of games that you guys have gotten to play compared to some of the other schools, and then we hit Christmas break, and you guys have not seen action since December 22nd, and that was a game against Pineview. Fortunately, though, it appears now that things should be back to normal once we get region play rolling.
Yeah, I hope so. You'll get into region play, and we'll start playing. First couple weeks, just a single game, but from then on out, be two games a week is what we're typically normally used to. But yeah, it's been a long time since we played a game. All through the break, just practice. It seems like this year we've spent an awful lot of time in the gym practicing and very little time playing.
Yeah, and I know that can cause some difficulties, Coach. But over the Christmas break and getting close to 15 days or so off, how often were you able to work with the girls? Because I know there's the moratorium, and some teams had some games during that time. Emory was not one of them. So what were some of the things that you did focus on in the limited time that you had with the team?
Well, we kind of focused on where we had struggled. Our last game going into the break was against Pineview, and as many years as I've been in girls basketball, that's probably one of the better teams I've ever seen. But it definitely exposed some things that we needed to work on, and we tried getting in the gym and working on that. And then because it's the time through the break, it's a long time before your next opponent. So as far as preparing for the other opponent, we didn't do a lot of that. Just kind of got in and concentrated on the things that we want to better ourselves at, and some of the things we were deficient on, we tried to work on that.
Coach, going back to the Pineview game, as you mentioned, a very difficult opponent, and that was one of the reoccurring themes with your guys' non-region schedule. You played a lot of very good teams. You lose this game by 30 or so points, but there, at times, if you go back and you look at the play-by-play and the way things went, you guys did find success at times over long periods of time, such as the second quarter in this contest. What was it that gave you the thought of, okay, look, this is a great team, but in the same sense, so we're making progress? I'm sure you saw that during that game.
Yeah, we did. You know, we come out flat. They obviously come out firing. They were ready to go. Once we kind of settled down, composed ourselves, like you mentioned, the second quarter, we played pretty good ball with them, played even ball, kind of got in some foul trouble, and had to adjust the lineup a little bit. But yeah, I did see some good things. Then we definitely see some things we got to work on. But one thing moving forward, I'll mention to you is we get Tatum Tanner back down there. They've got a girl by the last name is Papa. She's, I know, signed with Dixie State. I believe it was Dixie State she signed with. She's an exceptional player. Big, long, lanky, can play everywhere on the floor. Getting Tatum back in that situation moving forward, same situation we played Syracuse earlier this year. We're going to match up a lot better with them bigger teams down in the paint.
and we could have certainly used her down there against Pineview. But moving forward, I hopefully we can start throwing some different scenarios on the floor and mixing it up, matching up with some of them bigger teams a little bit better.
Well, when you mention Tatum, Coach, I mean, just going back to previous conversation, it's, I mean, this frees Tambry up to do a lot of different things as well once you add a big down in the middle.
Yeah, it sure does. She was able to come back first of the year, so we've had her this week, and just, you know, the minimal days in practice, throwing her in the mix, it definitely opened up a lot of other areas, and not just necessarily Tambry. Now we got there's going to be some focus in the paint, and they got to kind of pack it in, and that'll open up the whole outside.
Okay, so with adding her to the equation, Coach, and coming off of a pretty substantial injury, is there any limitations that you see early on, or is it just at full swing now?
Yeah, for sure. There's limitations. Number one being she hasn't done anything all year, some physical therapy and stuff, but as far as cardio and stuff, she's out of shape. It's going to take, I'd say, at least a month or so to get her to in good shape where she can be fluent out there with the other girls. And her knee, obviously, coming off the injury she did, I think mentally it kind of plays a toll on her. But, you know, each day in the gym and hopefully each week, she kind of builds some confidence with that and to move forward on it. But she's by no means close to 100%. I'd say she's probably only 60% right now. But it's been encouraging me to see what's happened in the gym the last couple of days, not just with Tatum, but all the other girls, you know, mentality. They've got some encouragement moving forward saying, hey, now we've got our big girl back. Things are going to be different.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Lynn Tuttle of the Emory Lady Sport and Basketball Squad. They'll open up a Region 12 play tomorrow night on the road as they take on the Richfield Wildcats. And, Coach, we'll talk about the RPI. I'm always interested in the first RPI because it kind of gives us a gauge of how the computer has rated the non-region schedule. And I tell people all the time it's tough to pay attention to non-region schedules because it's not uniform. Everybody has a different difficulty over the first 10 or so games. Emory comes out number 7, and you guys are at 3-3, which that immediately talks to the difficulty of your schedule so far. And we knew this at the beginning of the year, but still only playing 6 games for the girls to be at number 7. I'm sure you're happy with that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. You know, the RPI, like you mentioned, it figures strength of schedule, and we've had an extremely tough schedule. I feel like we've played one team that's been down, and that was Hurricane. But the other teams, you know, we play 6A, 4A, the number one team. And then Judge, obviously, they're pretty good. And we made a run at that game, almost got it at their place. So I was encouraging to see that. But like you mentioned, 3-3 sitting at number 7, right behind Delta. Looking at the RPI, we're not that far behind. So now that region hit, and as tough as our region is, if we can start picking up some wins within region play, it'll definitely help us out with the strength of schedule being our region.
Yeah, I think it's been proven in the game of basketball for sure that the RPI has worked. I mean, people may have problems with some of the other sports, but I don't believe there's been any doubt that it's worked as far as high school basketball is concerned. Now that we go into region play, Coach, how do you balance looking at the RPI and really running for a region crown? Because I've had coaches tell me that a region championship doesn't quite mean as much anymore. We've seen region champions finish in the RPI below teams that were second or third in that region. So as far as the RPI and it coexisting with region standings, how do you kind of balance that?
Well, you mentioned that, you know, let's take, for example, region, I don't know what region is, Manti, North Sampete. You might have one of that, the region champion that, obviously, they're going to finish in the RPI lower than our region 12 because we just got tougher teams, even if they're the region champion that one. But the way I look at it, RPI rankings versus a region championship, I'm going to pay more attention to just the region championship and a little less to the RPI. I know now every night we get in the gym, we can't take one night off. Grand down a little bit, but every other team, they're capable of winning us. So we're going to focus on each individual game, and that's our ultimate goal in the middle of February before state, is we'd love to fight and contend for that region championship. Where we end up with the RPI in the end, We'll just deal with that when that comes for seeding for state tournament.
Yeah, really. I mean, you guys are in a good spot. I think every squad in this region is, because if you win your region games, the RPI is going to take care of itself. And I think you alluded, I agree with you 100%, Coach. If you look at, Region 14, that may not be the case. But at least in Region 12, it's competition every night. And so it does kind of work, I guess, hand in hand with the RPI.
Yeah, it does. So, like I say, we're going to concentrate on each individual game. And then at the end of the season, hopefully contend for that region championship. And then wherever we fall within the RPI, we'll deal with that when it comes.
Well, Coach, if we look ahead to Region 12 right out of the gate, pretty stout opponent, Richfield, on the road. They go 8-1 in non-region play. In fact, there's three teams that only have one loss so far this year in Region 12. But it's a very difficult challenge right out of the gate, Richfield on the road. Not an easy place to play. We've seen really good teams go there and struggle for both the boys and the girls. And so it's a true test right out of the gate.
Yeah, it's going to be a big challenge. You've mentioned that people go down there and struggle. We're one of them teams that goes down to that gym and kind of has a little bit of difficulty getting going. But watching game film on them, they're a great team. I mean, they've got excellent shooters, and they're also big within the paint. So you can't take away one aspect and expect the other not to fall in, because they'll fire on all cylinders. So it's kind of, we got to get down there and play straight up. But then, we look forward to it. That's what we're looking forward to. And then the next week, same situation. We match up against one of the better teams in Carbon. And they're kind of a different situation. Their strength is guard play. And so obviously the next 2 weeks for us starting off is going to be difficult.
Yeah, looking at Richfield, and we could even probably use the same logic with Carbon, Coach. I mean, you got Willardson with Richfield. I believe she's the only scorer that's in double figures. You look at Carbon, I mean, they can present a really well-balanced offense. Those teams are a little bit more difficult to prepare for than, say, a team like Judge Memorial, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But hopefully we can make a good showing tomorrow night. I honestly believe we can go down there, and if we play up to our capabilities and take care of defensive assignments, we can come out on top there. And then moving forward, I'll have 3 or 4 days to prepare for Carbon. And obviously they've got a lot of strength in different areas, and we'll see what we can do to disrupt that.
Well, I'm sure that as a head coach, and I'm sure as far as all the players are concerned as well, all the girls coach, you guys are probably just happy to have some sort of normalcy now with the schedule.
Yeah, we're excited, looking forward. You mentioned normalcy. We've had very little of that in the past. But we'll start off tomorrow night and then hopefully just get in full swing, kind of a schedule that we've been used to the last several years and what the girls are used to. But, yeah, they're excited. We'll get the opportunity to apply what we've been practicing and see how we've improved and see what direction we can go with it.
Well, Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Best of luck as you guys travel down to Richfield, and I'm sure we'll catch up again real soon. Thank you again for the time.
You bet. Thank you, Jordan.
We're going to take another quick commercial break. When we return, we're going to move over to college football. Last night we had the Heisman ceremony. It kind of floated under the radar this year, didn't it? I will tell you that the rightful player was named Heisman and Devontae Smith. We'll talk about that and more when we return. It's all right here on Drive Time Sports.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Heisman Trophy awarded to Devontae Smith last night. He's the third Alabama player in school history to take home the Heisman. The first wide receiver since Desmond Howard. That was all the way back in 1991. We're talking close to 30 years. That's the last time a wide receiver won the award. And when you look at the statistics that Smith was able to put up, I mean, just phenomenal. Led the FBS with 105 receptions, 1,641 receiving yards. Plus, he also brings in 20 touchdowns. Like I said, this kid was just absolutely phenomenal throughout the entire year. And I think when you look at the development of Devontae Smith, this goes back to the conversation that I had earlier this week on the show. when I was talking about the gap of college football tiers, 1, 2, and 3, and then a gap between 4, 5, 6, 7, and then a gap between 8, 9, and 10. That's kind of the way it's been for the last little while. And it's the reason I don't believe we need to expand the playoff to 8 teams, because there's a big gap. Look at the talent that Devontae Smith managed to evolve around. I think this is a true testament to him. If it was Jerry Jeudy, if it was Jalen Waddle. And that's the other thing. You go back to the Notre Dame game, Jalen Waddle wasn't even in the game. This kid is so good. You look at the amount of talent that Alabama has produced on the outside. This kid found a way to stand out mixed with all that talent. He found a way to get better. We're talking about a 6'1", 175-pound kid that found a way to get better mixed in with that much talent. He had to stand out. He definitely did so. And the biggest knock on Devontae Smith coming out of high school was his size. He's a skinny kid, 6'1", 175. He's not that big for a wide receiver, especially for a wide receiver that did the damage that he did this year. But as I was watching this, second place in the Heisman Trophy race, it was Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence, since the day we saw him come on the scene, we just knew that this guy was going to be special. He was going to be a number one pick or one of the top picks in the NFL draft. Could have been after his freshman season. And he never won the Heisman Trophy. Is that a disappointment? I don't know. He's going to be the number one overall pick. Does the Heisman Trophy matter that much? I guess that would be the question. But yeah, Trevor Lawrence never added the Heisman Trophy to his case. And you know what? Neither did Deshaun Watson. And when you look at the amount of talent that Clemson has produced and the amount of wins that they have produced over the last little while, it's kind of phenomenal. Neither one of those two guys took home a Heisman. Where does Devontae Smith fit in as far as the NFL draft? I think he has to be the number one wide receiver on any big board. And I think he's a top five pick. I really do. But I have talked to some people that truly believe Devontae Smith may fall out of the top five, and that the first wide receiver could in fact be Ja'Marr Chase, who's coming out of LSU. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, he's 6'1", weighs 200 pounds. And you look at the teams that'll be picking inside that top five. I mean, we know that number one, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. Write it in right now. I would expect that Justin Fields would go number two to the Jets. I don't know what direction the Miami Dolphins would go. Probably offensive line. There's a chance that the Falcons could go quarterback as well. But when you get down to the Bengals, they have to start looking at the necessary luxuries to put around Joe Burrow when we ever see him again as he comes back from a devastating injury. And I think the case could be made for the very next team as well in the Philadelphia Eagles. They could pick a quarterback if they're not too excited about Jalen Hurts. Looks like the whole Carson Wentz saga, that's done, right? The Carson Wentz time in Philadelphia, that's done. So I guess they could go quarterback, but wouldn't it make sense for Devontae Smith to go to either Cincinnati or Philadelphia? But again, you got another SEC guy that's just sitting there in Ja'Marr Chase. I'm telling you, I haven't seen a kid this dynamic in a long time. I mean, the moves that Devontae Smith makes, the way he can get real skinny, his explosiveness on the perimeter, this kid is one of the best wide receivers I've seen in a long time. And I'll tell you who else is really good. We already mentioned him. Jalen Waddle's pretty good too. So the top three receivers, they're in the SEC. Two of those three play for Alabama. Think about that. Jalen Waddle will be a top 10 pick. I think we got three wide receivers that go in the top 10. I really do. Depending on what direction Detroit wants to go, same thing could be said for Carolina. They could use wide receiver help. You could see three wide receivers go inside the top 10, and two of them would be from Alabama. When you watch this Crimson Tide team, they just ooze talent. And again, that's a compliment to Devontae Smith. This kid has to stand out among all this talent. We're talking about a wide receiver winning the Heisman Trophy, the first since 1991, and we have seen some stellar wide receivers that deserve to be in the conversation. But leading up to the Heisman ceremony last night, I was really concerned that Mac Jones might sneak in. Or would Trevor Lawrence steal enough votes that would keep Devontae Smith out of the running to win the Heisman? He'd finish 2 or 3. I think everyone would agree that he's the Heisman Trophy winning, or he was worthy of winning the Heisman Trophy. But it was nice to see a receiver get that kind of love. Now, as far as the Heisman ceremony goes, it's just not what it used to be. Mac Jones was third. And so, again, Alabama had two of the top three players in college football. And I would agree with that. I would agree with that completely. But to see someone of Devontae Smith's caliber at that position win, I thought it was a great night for college football. Where does he go next, though? That's the question. I think he's top five. I think he's a top receiver. Ja'Marr Chase is definitely one you got to pay attention to. And maybe even Waddle, depending on how he performs at the combine. But the way the NFL, the way it's played, and with the dynamic wideouts that we have, the threesome I just named, Devontae Smith, Waddle, and Chase, you compare that to last year's big three with CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs. Give me this year's trio, hands down. Some of the most dynamic college football players I've seen. Let's take another quick commercial break. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll continue to talk some basketball. Don't forget tonight, coming up 5:30, it's the Jazz and the Knicks. Utah trying to get revenge, or I can't even say get revenge. They're playing another New York team, but they just want to get rid of that sour taste in their mouth from last night, which was quite the stinker of a game. We'll talk more NBA basketball right after this here on Drive Time Sports, 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
Here's some breaking news. Steph Curry's still pretty good at scoring the basketball. We're back on Drive Time Sports. The story in the NBA right now, it's got to be Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we're talking about a team. I shouldn't even say a couple of weeks ago. About a week ago, we're talking about a team that is not performing well. 0-2 start. They lose to the Nets. They lose to the Bucks. No Klay Thompson. No Kevin Durant. People are calling Steve Kerr overrated on social media. You know, how's Steph Curry going to react to all this? He doesn't have the options that he once had. Yeah, I think he's all right. Let's bring in Travis Anderson, who's going to help talk some NBA basketball. Travis, I mean, it's fairly remarkable when you look at the recent two games that Steph Curry has put together. And this is why I say this. In a victory over the Trailblazers, where he dropped 62, he outscored the Portland Trailblazer backcourt by himself. And we talk about this backcourt all the time. You go back to the bubble last year, that's why the Blazers were going to give the Lakers fits, remember, because of that backcourt with McCollum and Lillard.
Mm-hmm.
Curry outscored them both by himself, and he follows that up with a 30-point performance over the Kings.
Yeah, Dame went and talked, and Steph Curry didn't say anything, just went out, dropped 62 on Dame, and Dame had to apologize after. If you're going to talk, you have to take one on the head, and that's what happened. But yeah, Curry's still, one of the best players in this league, top six in the league still, and, he's healthy now. He hasn't been healthy the last couple of years, but you can see fully healthy what Steph Curry can do and why all that, talk about the Warriors, not being so great. They're going to sneak into the playoffs just for the fact that, the nine plays the eight or whatever. So they're going to get in. They're going to be one of those top, nine teams to get in the playoff.
Yeah. Eight plays nine.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So yeah, they should.
Right. What, the same thing from the bubble. That's what they're running in.
Yeah. So they should get in.
They should. Yeah.
Okay. And that would be my next question. How good are the Golden State Warriors? Because when you look at the Western Conference, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, and I got to go back to it, when you start dissecting the way the playoffs could shape out, for the Warriors to get in, someone that got in last year is not going to be able to get in. Right? That's just the way it works.
Houston
would be that team. And then I think you can continue to go down the list. Look, Phoenix didn't get in last year. They're going to get in this year. It's a good basketball team. They're very, very good. But before we get off pace, looking at the Golden State Warriors, how good can this team be? I mean, would you consider them legitimate? And when I say legitimate, I'm talking top three in the Western Conference.
No.
That's legitimate to me.
Not to me, no, because I think it's the Lakers, it's the Clippers, and it's the Suns. I think those are your top three teams in the Western Conference, and I just don't think they're better than any of those three. And then if you drop down to the next tier, you got to throw Utah in there. Denver's struggling, but I think they're going to get it right. Denver's a team. Dallas is another team. So I don't think they're up in that tier as well.
It's tough. I mean, Golden State's 4-3 right now. And while Steph Curry has just been dynamic, he's been so great. One of the big stories that has kind of gone under the radar here in the state of Utah, I'm sure it's not in California, Kelly Oubre's been awful. His efficiency rate is in the dumps.
And that's the thing.
It's one of the lowest on the team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're not going to get the consistency that they need, I think, to, you know, compete as a top team, you know, with how bad he's been. And Andrew Wiggins is a nice player, but he's not a guy that's going to help you to, you know, get to the next step.
Yeah, I mean, Wiggins, this is a make it or break it year for him, and he's been fine so far this season. Probably could be a little bit more efficient offensively, but still, you're looking at a guy that's averaging about 18 per game, and I think that's what you're going to get out of him. I don't believe that this Golden State roster, I don't believe it's complete.
No.
I don't believe it's complete at all, and I believe they will make moves at some point in time this season. I don't know what moves they make, but they're going to make some move. And you almost have to complement what you have in Steph Curry. And I still believe that they have plenty of different avenues that they could explore.
You don't want to burn Steph Curry out because you can't have him taking the load throughout this grinding season. And eventually he wears down and gets hurt again. Somebody's got to step up and help him. If that's Draymond Green or it's Kelly Oubre or Andrew Wiggins or Wiseman. Someone's going to have to help him out.
Yeah, well, and don't forget, Draymond Green's only played 3 games so far this year.
And yeah, they look totally different.
Yeah, they do.
With him in the lineup,
they
do.
They look completely different. They're 2-1 with Draymond Green in. And in fact, he was on the floor when Steph dropped 62. He was on the floor when he dropped 30 the other night. And so Draymond definitely makes a difference within this Warriors team. This is what I would say about Golden State. Don't count them out.
No.
Okay, because, again, I don't know that the roster is complete.
They're going to make some moves, yeah.
They may make a move. And Steph Curry is elite. Is he the best point guard in the NBA right now? Would you take anyone over Steph Curry from that point guard position?
No, I would take Steph. There's no
way. I would too.
I would take Steph.
I think you could have made the argument for Dame Lillard last year, but you got to remember Steph wasn't healthy. He didn't play last year.
I think Steph Curry is a better player than Dame.
I would agree with that. So you have that already in your back pocket. You mentioned Draymond. He's a difference maker, obviously. And you know what? Another point that you have to make when you're talking about the Warriors, you have to pay attention to rookies because rookies didn't have the traditional offseason. We didn't have summer league. We didn't have the lengthy offseason.
They were just thrown right into it.
James Wiseman's going to get better. And when we talk about efficiency, this kid's averaging 11.7 boards, something like that. He's been more efficient in the 7 games that he has played than Wiggins or Oubre.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I don't think you can count this Golden State Warrior team out. And it's the same logic. I do agree with you. Phoenix is very good. Phoenix is a good basketball team.
Yeah,
they're
Chris
very
Paul
good
makes,
defensively.
Chris Paul makes a real difference. And they're getting those role players that you didn't think were going to step up. They've been very good. So we'll see if that continues. But Phoenix is a very good basketball team. Yeah, they play good defense too.
But will they be able to take that next step?
No. They can't beat the Clippers or the Lakers in the best of 7.
And I don't know that they would, honestly, I don't know that they would beat a Golden State or Utah in a 7-game series.
I would probably take those two teams as well.
It's just the way I see that team constructed. They're still very young. Chris Paul makes a world of a difference, I agree. But I wouldn't count this Golden State team out just yet. Let's take one more quick commercial break. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of the show right after this.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, Eastern Utah's home for the Utah Jazz.
Couple of seconds actually left here on Drive Time Sports. Getting set to close it out. Don't forget, Utah Jazz basketball coming up tonight. We get the Jazz and the Knicks. Utah trying to recover from a stinker last night. Who gets the win tonight? You got to think about that for a moment. You're not sure that the Jazz come back and beat the Knicks tonight?
I'm not. The way they played last night, the Knicks haven't been bad.
No, Julius Randle's been fantastic.
Julius Randle is playing. I'm going to take the Knicks. Give me the Knicks.
The Knicks?
Jazz dropped 2 in a row. Eesh. I'm going with New York. Do I get the spread, or am I just...
Pick it straight up.
Knicks. Give me the Knicks.
And because the spread's New York plus 8, correct?
Yeah, I like to...
Jazz are favored by 8?
Yeah, I'll take the Knicks.
Man, Utah can't lose tonight. They've got to recover from last
night.
Jazz
have been so up and down.
They have been.
Up and down.
They have been. Yeah, they've been really up and down. 4-3 so far.
Mitchell.
When they played good, they have played very well.
And Mitchell hasn't played well at all yet. this year. His defense has been stinky, and offensively, he's taking a lot of shots to get to a 31 point. Like last night, I think 23 shots to get to 31, but the night before, he was like 6 of 27.
Yeah, he's become a volume shooter so far. Still early on in the season.
Give me the Knicks.
I think you have to take what's happening right now, and you throw it out the door in just a bit because of the offseason. You'll roll with the Knicks. I'll roll with the Jazz tonight. Again, live coverage will begin at 5:20. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.